Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. And today I've got a probably one of my oldest friends in chiropractic. Patty, we went to school together. We've known each other for many, many years. I have Dr. Patty Giuliano, hailing from Westwood, Massachusetts. Welcome to the show, Patty. I'm going to tell them about you.
Thanks, Ron.
Absolute 82 graduate, right? Of Life Chiropractic College back then. Moved to Massachusetts, started a practice in downtown Boston, right on Newberry Street. If you know anything about Boston, met her husband, Dr. Peter Kevorkian, and they ended up settling into Westwood, Massachusetts, where they have a family practice, 40 something years there. Is that correct? And amazing, amazing practice. And, you know, Patty's done just amazing things. She's one of the founders of the League of Chiropractic Women. Currently, she's the president of the Academy of Chiropractic Family Practice. She's the president of that. That's the accrediting body that allows the diplomats reach their diplomat status, correct? For like the
we certify. We certify the ICPA programs.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. And I'm president of that. I don't know how many people, 40 interns have gone through your office, 40. I mean, she's mentored women. She's done all kinds of things in chiropractic. And Patty, it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm really excited about our conversation that we're going to have.
Yeah, it's fun and exciting to be here, Ron.
Well, listen.
And I'm not that old. You make me sound very old.
You are not. I'm older. You are not. But if we do get around to it, I don't know if we will, but we can tell the story about how I was very instrumental in your marriage to your husband. But we can, that might be another story at a later time. But let's talk about this. You know, I know you're an author and you've done amazing things. Hopefully we will get to your book later on because I think it's a pretty amazing book. But, you know, let's talk about your evolution. You know, like what if, like, you know, you've been in chiropractic for, you know, whatever, 40 years, you know, and going on 41. And it's like your philosophy has really kind of grown, obviously, right? You know,
yes, absolutely.
You know, and I know that, you know, as a DC, as a spouse, as a mother, you know, your family, talk about how that has come about, you know, like how you saw that interwoven and what you've learned.
Okay. So I have to like back up to my parents started us all under chiropractic care when we were babies. My father had insights. He was 15 when he started care. So that kind of put me into that mindset that we always, you know, ate good food. We got adjusted on a regular basis back then, once a month. That chiropractor never talked to my dad and gave him the philosophy. My dad just saw by example, people bringing babies in, people going regularly. So that was the beginning of my philosophical understanding of my parents always said, go outside, you'll feel better. I have a stomach ache. I can't go to school. Go to school. You'll feel better. Or my mother would smack me up the side of my head. I think it was like an adjustment she was giving me. So philosophically, knowing that my body healed from the inside out, that life happens through me, not outside of me. My parents taught us to be very independent. I have three. There are three girls in my family. I'm the oldest girl. My brother's the oldest. baby Armin in an Italian family. Okay. He's like, everybody bows to him.
Right.
No, he's a good guy. I love him. So that's where it started, Ron.
Yeah.
And then when I went to chiropractic school, there's a long story to that, but we don't need to go into that. The important thing is when I got to chiropractic school, it was like everything that my parents had said to me started coming together with a scientific basis, with the art, the philosophy, and learning the philosophy. So Life Chiropractic College, Dr. Sid Williams,
yeah.
Assembly every week, drop the keys, drop the keys, drop the keys. I didn't know, what does that mean? I didn't get it, Ron. And it took me until after I graduated and I got out of school and I'm still studying the philosophy, going to seminars, you know, meeting with my fellow chiropractors in this area, because we started a group, the Chiro Group, Chiropractic Health Information Resource Organization. You were part of that.
Yeah. Now it's the longest, it's still the longest running chiropractic philosophy group in the US. I mean, it's, yes. You know, it's incredible.
It's changed names. Okay. It was the ICIAS, and now it's the Mass Alliance for Chiropractic Philosophy. Yeah. But I have to put a shout out to you because you were instrumental in being the mentor to many of us because you graduated a year before us and kind of you set the stage for all of us. I remember calling you one day and I'm getting off track a little, but you'll bring me back. And I said, Ron, I don't know what to do. I have this pile of insurance papers and I've been just taking cash from people. And you said, okay, I'll come over and let's get this all done and off, you know, off your desk. And you really helped me so much. Yes, you helped me. You put that spark in me to think about Peter. And yeah. when I was yeah, engaged yeah. to someone well,
let's,
else.
Let's get the but truth anyway. Out. Let's get the truth out. So, Patty, when you came to Massachusetts, I was already there. You yes. needed a place to live. So you crashed at my house for I don't know, a month, whatever. And you took your spot on Newberry Street. It was a home office and you were mm-hmm. waiting for that to get ready. And you lived in, yes. you know, obviously you lived there. And then when I moved to Back Bay, I moved two blocks from your office when I left Lexington because I needed to live somewhere away from my office because I was just doing this all the time. I stayed in your place, right? And spent whatever a month in your place. So I'm like, yeah. So we were roommates for a while there. So we got to like get to spend some time together. But you know, it's interesting because you talk about the philosophy and you talk about parenting and you talk about like, you know, how your parents instilled it in you, right? You know,
right.
you know, I mean, obviously when we talk about, you know, doctoring or whatever the word is, being a chiropractor, you know, we are parents, aren't we? You know,
yes, we're shepherds. Absolutely.
We're shepherds. You know, we're teachers and we're teaching our, you know, our practice members. And you know, they look at us almost like parents because we have some wisdom that they're looking at us for that they don't have, obviously. Right. It's amazing. And how did you transfer that? Like, you know, in your practice?
Okay. So the number one thing that I feel like I have always strive for is to empower others, okay? To empower my children that they have the answers within them, to empower my practice members that they have the answers within them, that chiropractic per se doesn't heal you. It's the life inside of your body that takes that adjustment and is able to transform that adjustment into something real, biologically real inside of your body. So I feel like that's how I take the philosophy into everything. It's like to always trust the answers are within. And it doesn't mean you don't look outside for answers. You take the answers from outside. You take your intuition, you put it all together, and then you act out of love.
Yeah.
You come from your heart. So you take all of that and then really strive for unconditional love. For example, okay, so if I'm going to teach my kids, okay, I empower you that you have all the answers within you. When they sat, I made dinner one night and my kids were 2 and 4 and I put their plates on the table. And Katie said, I'm not hungry. Christopher was eating. And my first thought was, eat your dinner. It's on the table. And then I thought, I am going to negate what I've been trying to teach her, that listen to your body. She's listening to her body. She is not hungry. And how did we grow up? You eat right now when the whole family's eating. So I did things like that. Like I had these aha moments where, you know, okay, Katie, your food will be here when you are hungry. Listen to your body. So I'm able to actually empower that in her.
Yeah.
That's what I've done to my interns, always empowered them. You have the answers within you. Yes, ask, look for information outside of you, but then bring it in, assimilate it using your basis of the philosophy that there's an intelligence within everything. There's an intelligence with you, in you. There's an educated intelligence, but there's also that innate intelligence that you got to trust. Trust what your body is doing. So with patience, to take it to that next level, trust that your body's telling you something. You're in pain. I'm not going to, you know, dishonor that. I've always, from day one, you know, evolved in that understanding. I would have to say day one in practice, I was still trying to treat people's problems. Okay. Right. And then I evolved in my philosophical understanding that that's not philosophically congruent, that I'm going to make them better. No, their body, the wisdom and genius of their body is going to make them better.
And when we teach our kids that at an early age, I'll share with you a really quick story. Dr. Lauren Klum, she's our dean of clinics at clinical operations at.
I used to babysit for her.
Yeah. Huh? You used to baby?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, check this out. This is a cool circle because she babysat for my kids. One summer when she was in high school, we were at a meeting somewhere. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, nothing. She ended up coming and spending a month at our house in San Diego from the Bay Area when she was in high school. And she was hanging with my kids. Right. You know, she was kind of like a nanny, so to speak. Right. Mm-hmm. They went to the beach. They went to the bead store. They did all the fun stuff that, you know, and my kids had a blast with her for that month. Well, she told me a story recently. She said, you know, I got to tell you a story that's really interesting. Sydney, my youngest at the time, she might have been, I don't know, 4 years old, I'm not sure. She scraped her knee or whatever. So Lauren put her on the counter and got a Band-Aid and said, listen, I'm gonna put this Band-Aid on you, it'll help you. And Lauren and Sydney said, No, it won't. And she said, what do you mean? And Sydney looked at her and said, well, she goes, this will help you heal. And Sydney said, No, the power that made my body will heal my body. And Lauren told me this. And Lauren immediately took the Band-Aid away and said, oh my God, I just learned such a phenomenal lesson from a four-year-old kind of thing, but it's really what they pick up, right? Yes. And they are sponges. And if we, you know, these kids are just, you know, if we teach them at a young age how to trust their bodies, how to trust their intuition, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, I mean, we so many parents don't want their kids to make mistakes, right? It's why not? Let them make mistakes. Let them fall. Don't put a buzzsaw in their hands, but you know, put them in the positions that they can learn from, right? Isn't that what it's about? And listening to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. When my kids were babies, I would whisper in their ears because they would get build up in their ears. People would call it an ear infection. I just said it was a backup. I would whisper in their ears as babies, you have a strong body. You have a healthy body. Your body knows how to heal you. The life inside your body knows how to heal you. When we moved into our new home office where I am now, I remember standing right where I am right now, recording this, looking over at my steps. And I saw Christopher, 2 years old, at the top of the steps. And I see him take a step. And I taught him to go backwards. He didn't. And all of a sudden, tumble, tumble, he was at the bottom on the floor. And I went running over to him. I picked him up and I said, Christopher, everything's going to be okay. Mommy's here. And he goes, no, mommy. It's okay. My body will heal me. So a similar story, you know.
Very. And they get it. They live with it.
Yes.
I mean, they live with it. I mean, it's so cool. And, you know, if kids can get it, then you know, our practice members can get it. You know,
absolutely.
Anyone. You might not have to have them fall down the stairs, but they can get it. Yeah. Let me digress. I want to move in a different direction. And we'll come back to the parenting thing because I really want to talk about your book. You were in school and, you know, you started school in 79, probably something like that. Right.
Yep.
I started in 78. When you were in school, 10% probably females
mm-hmm.
chiropractic college at the time. right?
Exactly.
You were in one of the large, you were in my brother's class. So you were in one of the largest classes that had ever gone through the school. 220.
We started with 220.
Yeah.
And 20 were women.
Yeah. So there we go. There's the there's a perfect 10% number, right? Yep. You know, and you come out and you started your own practice, you know, that kind of thing. And let's face it, you know, back then I was like, are you big enough? Even today, you know, people, older guys might say, are you big enough to adjust me? Well, you know, that's, but back then there just wasn't a lot of female chiropractors. Though if we go back in the days of the 30s and 40s and look at the picture of the graduates, 50% were women, you know? Right. It was shifted somewhere, you know, whatever the time period was, it shifted. But what was it like? You know, I mean, you know, here you are, you know, female chiropractor, you know, excited about going out and practicing, came from a, and I'm not saying you wore this on your head, you know, on your sleeve or anything like that, that I'm a woman chiropractor, but, you know, you came to an area, you came to Boston, pretty in those days, because I was there, you know, if you wanted to look at an area of the country that was pretty set in its ways. Boston was, you know, what was it like, you know, going through and coming out 10%, you know, and being part of that minority, so to speak, as a woman chiropractor, and then the evolution of that?
Okay. You got to remember, I'm a Jersey girl.
Yeah. And an Italian Jersey girl.
And Italian. And when I came out of school, Dr. Sid had infused in me through all of those weekly, you know, gatherings, that, you know, the fields are ripe with the harvest. And I just came out gung-ho that I was going to save the world. I didn't even think about that I was a woman. Like that should have made a difference, Ron. Truly, truly. I had other women chiropractors in Boston saying to me, how's it going? Like with the, you know, adjusting men and do people look down at you? And I'm like, no, And I think it's because I didn't put that out, Ron, yeah. But I know that other women did. And I get it. You know, our society can do that to us women, especially. I think it's getting better. But I just came out and I just chiropractic, and my mission was all that I had in my mind. And I went for it. And I was meeting my overhead with your help in the group that we were part of, within 3 months in downtown Boston. So I remember one day I got a call. It was a home office. So I lived in the back, you know, the bedroom and the kitchen. And then the front was my office. I got a call at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. This guy says, I'm in town practicing. I'm a football player in town practicing, and from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I need an adjustment. And I said, come on over. And he came over and I opened the door and I looked up and I said, oh my God, I didn't know you were so big. And he looked down at me and he goes, oh my God, I didn't know you were so small. And his neck was gigantic. And I said, not a problem. I'm a great adjuster. Come on in, put him on the table, adjusted his neck. He goes, no one is ever able to adjust my neck. And I said, you came to the right place. Yeah. So I was gutsy. I was on a mission. So, and I don't know that everybody has my personality, you know? So there are ways that people can draw people to them based on who they are. Okay. So as a woman, you know, I think it's a little more challenging, but I also think that a lot of people want to go to women, especially if our market is a young woman with a family.
Right.
That seems to be the target market for many of the chiropractors that practice with pediatric population, pregnancy, and families, that they love going to women. And so I think we have a market, that market share in that. So the evolution has been, you know, when I started practicing with Peter, that was the challenge.
Well, I was going to say that because, you know, I know when my wife, Mary, you know, well, she came into the practice that I had already established. Right. And then she was an associate, you know, and that kind of thing. But even that, I mean, you know, she'd have people walk in and say, oh, yeah, I'd rather see, you know, Dr. Ron, and I had people say, I'd rather see Dr. Mary, the pregnant women. And it was a great balance. I mean, it was great, but But, you know, I know you can ask Mary this. She would say this. She'd say, you know, if there, because we worked opposite shifts. We didn't work side by side. Right. So if someone walked in on her shift and, you know, and she knew this guy always wanted to see me, but they came in on her shift, they wouldn't leave. And she just wail on them. I mean, she, to the point where they get them go, oh, my, because she's not big enough or strong enough, whatever that was in their heads. And she just go that extra amount that when they walked out, they'd be like, woo, that was wow. You know, that kind of thing. Like it totally debunked that myth in their mind. Right.
Yeah. Look,
did you guys have, obviously you had to have had similar situations.
Sure. Sure. And I would just say to them, get your butt on this table and let me adjust you, because we worked the same shifts.
Yeah.
So the way Peter and I worked it is I was the new patient person. I did all the new people first and second visits. They got their first adjustment with me, no matter what. And so everybody, no matter what their size, they got to get an adjustment by Dr. Patty. Yeah. And if over time they decided they wanted to only see Dr. Peter, more power to you. You know, we let people do that in the practice. They can choose. Yeah. I want to go see Dr. Patty, Dr. Peter, Dr. Catherine, Dr. John now, who are our associates. Our wonderful, amazing associates. So, but it was challenging. And so here's what we did. And I mean, we could do a whole thing on couples practicing together, but this just a short little vignette that we had to decide who the buck stopped with in the practice. And because I had the kids and I was here taking care of the kids more than he was, it was him. So that the staff knew there's one person to be accountable to, and that's Dr. Peter, okay, in the practice. When it came to the house, there's one person who made the final decisions, or so I thought. That's how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That would be me. But there was always, you know, he's always got to get that last word in.
You know? And it's like, okay. And just go do what you're going to do, right?
Yeah. But a little secret, and I don't know if Mary, it's like I have learned how to, you know, kind of infuse some possibilities into my husband. And then 2 weeks later, he goes, oh, I had a really good idea. Do you think we should? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really good, Peter.
This happens. My ideas all the time are like that, you know, and I get to think back. Wait, but Mary was talking about that 3 weeks. You guys got it down.
Oh, I love you guys. We love you.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, obviously you mentored 40 interns, you know, 40, yes, whether they're preceptors, associates, you know, whatever it might be, you mentored 40, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, couple tips for the doctors out there, you know, of, you know, who are looking, because right now the word on the street, right? This is on the street, on the chiropractic street, is that right now there's 2.5 doctors wanting associate for every graduate to come out and go in their office. That's the word right now. There's 2.5. I'm not saying those 2.5 are ready for an associate. You know, they might not be. You know, maybe they're looking for just someone to do exams or whatever. But there are a lot of people out there who are in that space right now, because as you know, chiropractic is becoming more, we're hitting more of the population right now. You know, their practices are getting busier. What would you say to the doctors? I mean, you're a pro at this. You have 40, you know, associates coming through and preceptors and whatever. What would you say to the doctors? What some words of wisdom on what they can do? And also to the associates or preceptors that are coming in, both of them. Start with the doctors. What would you say? What would be a couple tips you'd give them?
Go above and beyond.
What's that mean?
Number one. So we have a unique situation. We have our guest room upstairs. And, you know, even when our kids were here, our interns live with us for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I've had interns from Life West, Northwestern, Palmer, Florida, and Sherman. Sherman is the bulk of them, but we've had Life wants them to adjust in Massachusetts. You can't. Mm-hmm. So there is that uniqueness, Ron, that they come here, they can't adjust, but our staff allows them to. So as the doctor, take time outside of practice to go over technique with them. if they want. I mean, most of our interns are so grateful. Peter spends an hour or so every week with them while they're interning with us. Peter goes over the whole business aspect of our practice with them from start to finish. We have a manual, and he says, okay, from when the person calls on the phone, here's how the staff answers, and he gives them the step by step. It takes hours for him to do that. Take care of them, take them out to dinner, mentor them after hours so that they can see, if they're not living with you, let them see what a chiropractic family lifestyle is like. If you have kids, let them watch you, you know, disciplining your kids and how you feed your kids, how you talk to your kids.
So you're saying invest in them.
Invest in them, like in all in around. All
ways. Yeah, in all, ways, around. Right?
Don't just let them come in for the day and then see if they go back to their apartment or wherever they're staying, and then they come in the next morning.
Yeah,
develop a relationship with them.
And what that does for the doctor, it just solidifies the strength that you have. You know, when I say strength, it solidifies everything that you're doing in your practice. It just makes it that much stronger because you're teaching that and sharing that and having that happen. It's that's incredible. What would you say to the intern, associate, preceptor, you know, that kind of thing?
Be curious, ask questions. Don't be afraid. Some of our interns have been introverts, and that's been challenging for me. And I say to them, please, you need to, as a chiropractor, if you want to be successful, you need to come out of your shell, you know, fake it until you make it. Mm-hmm. If you're an introvert, and learn as much as you can from the docs, I also ask them to keep up space when they're in the office, let us have our space but learn, write down questions. Come eager with curiosity. And then I would have to say of the 40, only one really was someone who might want to stay here in the Boston area, especially when I brought her to my beach house and she stuck her toe in the ocean and said, "Oh my God, I'm a Bostonian," because she was a Midwesterner. No ocean out there.
Right.
But so most of them I knew were not going to be staying in the area. So there wasn't even any inclination for us to talk about an associateship. We didn't get an associateship until 30 years in practice.
Yeah. It was a training grounds, really.
And grounds.
Come in, go out, go do your thing and become successful.
You got it. Yeah.
You said something. What we used to do, and I'm sure you did it too, we had a sheet that we gave them. It was what worked and what didn't work. And so every day they filled that out at the end of the day or during the day. And so they would literally write down what worked for them today, what didn't work for them today, and what questions they had. And afterwards, myself or Mary or whoever, we would spend time with them and we would go over that with them, right? And make sure that they got it so that they were constantly, because in the middle of it all, it's like a fire hose, right?
Right.
They've never been in a practice like this before, all these things going on. And by the time they left, boom, it was just beautiful. Patty, thank you. I do want to touch on, we're hitting that witching hour right now as far as wrapping up, but I want to talk about your book for a second because, I remember when you were writing it it's so interesting because it's not a book on practice management. It's not a book on chiropractic per se. First of all, share with our audience the title of your book.
Okay. So I asked you, I'm allowed to swear. Okay.
You're allowed to swear.
Okay. It's called Holy Shit, I'm Gonna Be a Mom.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and the byline, the book isn't published yet. It's just in the last editing phases, but the byline, parenting from the inside out or something like that, intuitive parenting. The book has been 20 years in the making, Ron, or probably I should say 36 years in the making because it starts preconception.
Right.
And it's again, it's like the story I told you about Christopher falling down the stairs. There's stories in it, and then there's lessons with the story. So parents can look at that and say, wow, I keep telling my kids that they need to eat everything on their plate, and maybe that's not honoring to them. I keep telling, my kids when they fall down and get hurt that the Band-Aid is going to fix them, So how to discipline, you know, everything is in that book in a story format, because that's me. I talk in stories. And so the lessons are there, and it's about intuition, following your philosophy, beliefs, values, and then sprinkling that, that's the recipe, sprinkling that with unconditional love. And I use that recipe because I learned that from my grandmother when she taught me how to make the cavatelli, which people call cavatelli. How do you do it? She goes, just do you watch me, body, watch me. And then you learn. I want to write it down, Grandma. Ah, shut up. Just to watch me. Yeah. So this book is about just to watch me. If you want, watch the stories, watch how I handled it. And then you get to, in, you know, adopt that or adapt
and make your own gava, you know,
make your own gava deal, because my grandmother made it with the marinara sauce. I make it with the sage butter sauce. So I adapted the recipe. You know, how I brought up my kids was based on, I had to be true to my philosophical, my values, my beliefs. And anytime I was not congruent with that, my kids would call me on it. Christopher, you know, your sister's beating on you. Next time you just beat back her. And, Mommy, you told me not to use my body to hurt anybody. I'm like, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, so you probably have a million stories too.
We all do. And every parent will. I think the beautiful thing of what you're talking about is that, you know, what the book is about is like, you know, we all step into that, holy crap, you know, and what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? And the truth is that it's so interesting because, you know, parenting, there's no cookbook, there's no recipe, there's no nothing, nothing comes out, you know, the baby comes out, the placenta comes out, there's no instructions that come out. And even after your first one, the second one, you're waiting for the instructions, because now what do I do with two? And then what do I do with eight, or whatever it is? But the truth is it's so organic and it's so real, and it grows itself, and we get to be, you know, I wish I would have learned this. I learned this as a grandparent now, you know, to be, the thing I love about my life right now is I get to be the spectator in my children's life. I get to sit back and be in the stands and watch them parent. Right. Yeah. And watch. And it's really a beautiful thing. And I can sit there and go, oh my God, that's your mom, or that's Mary. I don't tell them this, but that's Mary, you know. But how does Lauren know that, or Morgan know that, you know, because when they were 1.5 years old, and Mary was like that with them, then I'm seeing them do that with their 1.5 year old, you know, or their 5 year old. And it's just incredible. And it's so osmotic, I guess is the word, right? Yeah. You know, that things just happen. Patty, I'm excited. When's it coming out?
December. It's a chapter book. So it's going to be in a series. So it's going to be, you know, first three chapters for early childhood, then it's going to go on. So can I just go back and say to you that what we're talking about is parenting. It's that same ideal that you carry as a chiropractor. So like you said in the beginning, you're a chiropractor, but you are a parent to your patients. And if you can look at them as your children, you know, you can't go wrong to develop that relationship with them, and then to infuse them constantly with that basic congruent philosophical understanding. Your body knows how to heal you. Dr. Patty, thank you for fixing my headache. Thank you for wanting to thank me, but give the accolades to your body. The life inside of your body healed you.
Yeah. And I always tell people this, Patty, they go, oh yeah, well, I don't have any kids. I'm not a parent. These are chiropractors. I go, yes, you are. You know, you've got kids, you have your family that walks in every week into your practice, right? And they look at you, and there really isn't that big a difference in the relationship. You know, you know, there's a difference is that we don't have to pay for them to go to school, or we don't have to pay for their, you know, this kind of stuff. But, you know, they're not on our payroll, so to speak. But the
reason don't have to cook them dinner.
Exactly. But the relationship is there. Yeah. Patty, thank you, man. It's been just a beautiful time with you. And we can go on and on and on. And I didn't even get to the Patty Peter story of how you guys got together. But where my piece was with that. But I'm not going to. We'll save that for another time. I do want to thank you for a few things. I want to thank you, number one, for never wavering. You know, you're that person that has always always held the line, you know, in what you do. I'm not just talking chiropractic, but in what you do, and have always been willing to adapt, because it's not like, oh, this is how I am, but always just being able to be like the wind and be able to change and adapt, but stay within your values. And I do know you as that. So thank you for that, because you've been a great example to me on that. And also thank you for what you've done in chiropractic, the people you've mentored, the people that you and Peter have mentored from the stage, you know, the influences you've had around the colleges. You know, you've done a lot around the colleges and all the things that you've done for chiropractic. And I know you do this for the greater good. And I know that you do this for humanity. You know, it's not for LifeWest or for this college or that college. It's the bigger picture. But I want to thank you for being part of that. So that's, to me, that's it, you know. And yes, and to our audience, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us, you know, every week. And as you know, that this is a LifeWest Leadership Line, and we drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we do the Life by LifeWest. I want to thank you for constantly sharing these with other people. I guarantee you there are probably about 10 people right now in your sphere, chiropractor or not chiropractor, in your sphere that will get something from what Dr. Patty said today. So please share these, because I know you already are. Keep sharing them. The hits that we're getting on these are amazing. And just know that we love and appreciate you. And please, please, please know that, you know, the more that you bring yourself to the world, like Patty said, the more you bring being congruent with who you are, the greater the relationships you will have, the greater the practice you will have, but most of all, the greater the life you will have. And that's because that's the byproduct of living yourself, living from a very, very true self. So Patty, once again, thank you. I love and appreciate you. And to all of our group, thank you again. And we'll be back at you in a couple of weeks with another LifeWest Leadership Line. See you later.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.